not an ultimate truth in your view?
I think this kind of question depends on whether you believe in scientific progress, or not even scientific progress, in the progress of human knowledge. And I tend to. I think we actually know more than we did in the past, that it's not just that the Greeks thought fire and now we think information. We've learned some things. I mean, the Greeks also thought atoms, and it turned out they were right. It's not that the world isn't made of atoms. It's that physicists, which I haven't talked about yet, are really starting to think that in its own genuine way, information is more fundamental, even to real physics. So, yes, it's a heuristic, but I don't think it's only a heuristic.
But of course, progress could maybe move beyond it.
Yes, but I can't. Now we're getting above my pay grade. I never
the wall. Yeah, English graduate.
There we go.
There's also the issue of which is quite controversial among Chan's contemporaries, the Macy conferences, as you know, where he said, where he described the information as empty, and that he did this obviously in order to turn it into in order to mathematize it. Basically, what he meant by a message was simply a pattern. It didn't matter what was in it, because to say what was in it would involve psychology, sociology, linguistics, all the other things which weren't quantifiable in the same way. Now, you said to me, you said in the book, that you wanted to restore meaning to the message. Do you think you succeeded?
Well, I don't mean that I personally wanted to save the world. I think what I tried to say was, what I believe is that as I was writing the book, I increasingly became aware of that there was a problem here. That Shannon's theory was, in its way, dry. And it's, on the one hand, as I'm claiming, a sort of a genuine foundation for the world we live in, because so much of our technology depends on it. And not just our technology, but the rather intelligent and accurate way we perceive the world. But in another way, we're all acutely aware that it's not the end of the story. And part of the paradox is a string of bits, a string of ones and zeros in Shannon's formulation, contains less information if it's all ones, for example, than if it's a random string of bits. And it's less information if it's strictly patterned, 1 0 1 0 1 0 1 0. That's very compressible, because all you need to do is understand the rule, and then there's no surprise. And then in Shannon's terms, transmitting the message requires a very small number of bits. So a random sequence of bits contains more information. That can be a little disturbing, I think, because after all, the random bits are just as boring, you would say, I think that's still a layman's word, as the completely patterned string of bits. And the strings of bits that we care about are somewhere in the middle. They have a certain amount of pattern, but not enough that it can be reduced to something utterly simple. So the story continues, I guess, is the short thing to say about that. It's not that I'm trying to restore information, to restore meaning to the notion of information. It's that this is the struggle we're all engaged in.
Yeah. I mean, I think you describe yourself as ambivalent but polemic. And your polemical is a sort of defense of meaning. That's the project we're all on, as you say. And at the moment, the cries of horror at the amount of information to which we're subjected. I mean, you seem to be sort of ironic about that, because it's all happened in the past.
Well, because I'm trying to... It's not that I'm claiming any special insight when I say what we care about is meaning. I'm trying to find a kind of middle path in what I see as a fairly polemical issue.
Yeah.
One hears people say all the time, too much information now, it's not a good thing, we're drowning in noise, a billion people twittering are not only not adding to the world's knowledge, they're diminishing it, because you can't say anything serious in 140 characters, and if they're twittering, they don't have time to be thinking. to all of humanity's information at our fingertips is a magnificent thing. It's almost like omniscience. We are powerful. We have great powers of vision, of sight, if not insight. And so what I'm trying to say polemically is that I think both of those things are true. And in writing the book, I had to try to find a way of justifying both ideas. I don't want to complain about either of those ideas because there's truth in both of them.
Yeah.
So that ends with me being ambivalent, as you said.
Oh, it's Nick Hyams said, a nice guy.
Well,
good.
And what kind of Twitter? And an aunt doesn't know how to Twitter?
Yeah.
By the way, did I see people tweeting while I was talking? I'll find out later.
I'm going to do these films now by the students. Is Robin Harvey introducing them all? Oh, there you go.
We'll take the questions from the audience after this.
James mentioned at the very beginning that there are some short films that will be shown because the information story is also being the age of Twitter, it's also the age of the ebook. And we at his publisher's Fourth Estate decided that there is no better book to take into the new enhanced ebook age than this one. And what we did was we teamed up with students from Central St. Martin's College and we said, here is the book, we want you to go away and reinterpret it in film. And what you're going to see is 12 very short films, 45 seconds, that cover the entire spectrum of the book, from Charles Babbage to the age of information, to reinterpreting James himself in the information age. So, without further ado.
Did there not cross your mind some thought of the physical power of words?